Welcome to the Culture Perth and Kinross podcast for the final instalment as part of the Strathairn Festival of the Arts. Today we rejoin Dr. Nicholas Small and Gil Martin from Drover's Tryst as they continue their walk along the drove roads of Strathairn.
Well, yesterday we're in Amelree and we're looking at where all the roads converge north of Crieff so that people can, the drovers are bringing the animals down. And today we've come all the way up this gorgeous hill. I'm a wee bit out of breath actually. We've been up Torlam Hill, which is to the south of Crieff. But just describe it. I can see Crieff here. You're pointing this out to me in the distance. But just paint the picture again. What are we looking at here? What am I seeing from Crieff? Oh, we're hearing all the farm machinery down in the valley below there as well. That's brilliant. But go on, tell me what we're looking at.
Nikki, we're on the north slope of Torlam Hill. We're looking across the top part of the valley of the Erne. We've got Crieff to our right, to the west, about 4 kilometres away, 5 kilometres away. And to the east, we're looking towards Glenlednoch and Comrie. And we can see the entire front of what's known as the Highland Boundary Fault, which is a fault line which runs right across Scotland from Loch Lomond to Stonehaven on the North Sea. And we have almost a bird's eye view of the western side of Crieff, where there would have been thousands and thousands of cattle pastured during the time of the cattle market, the Crieff Tryst. Today it's a lovely day. You've brought the weather with you.
It's lovely.
It's a bit
it's
better than
gorgeous.
Amelree yesterday. And you can see the Knock. You can see the road off to the Smar Glen. The hills behind Loch Turret and the Turret Reservoir.
That's just up behind us to the north there,
correct.
We're seeing. Is that Ochter Tyre House we're seeing in the distance?
Ochter Tyre House in the distance. The wonderful Comrie Croft.
I can see that from here too.
Location to the left of us. Crieff's looking very pretty at the moment. We're right in the middle of the farming time, so people are down in the valley there taking in, I think, the first crop of silage is coming sheep and lambs and cattle everywhere. But you can see a little bit of the topography of how the cattle would have been pastured during the times of the Tryst. Clearly the landscape's changed because of fields and woodlands, but you see a little bit of the relationship between the highlands, the glens that the drovers would have brought the cattle out of. Crieff is almost at the start of the lowlands, and if you look to the east, to Crieff and past Crieff, you can see the sort of the strath of Strathearn opening up towards the Ochils. So this was where the market was. It must have been an unbelievable sight,
yeah.
A very strange sound,
yeah.
And a most peculiar odour to have 30,000 cattle. Not only the cattle, also the drovers, who probably hadn't washed for several weeks.
It's such a romantic thing as well, the idea of people converging and all the goings on as well, and the animals and this. I mean, I suppose we could build it up to be a romantic thing, but you're right. I mean, it's...
Yes, yeah, you're right. The romance of the Tryst.
The romance.
Yes. So this was a special time for Crieff. Now, obviously, it's the one opportunity for a great deal of business to be conducted.
Yeah, yeah.
This brought the cattle and the drovers, but also the business end of what was happening, mm-hmm. came mm-hmm. up from the south mm-hmm. to make the deals, make the transactions.
Yeah.
There was clearly a lot of opportunity to get a good price and possibly a lot of opportunity to avoid a bad price. The cattle would not be in a particularly good state. Because they'd been on the road or the paths or the routes for some considerable time. Remember, this is taking place in October, end of September.
Yeah, of course, we're standing here in June when
not
it's
not the
lovely.
Best time of the year. Mm-hmm. The fodder was probably just about to turn, and there was a real importance and impetus for the drovers and the dealers to get that transaction and to move on. It's not as if there were markets every few months.
This is a kind of a once in a year sort of thing. It's just happening, and it's not like, I mean, and even in the old, you know, the bull sales and things, you know, that come twice a year or every year, you know, you're just you're dealing with different markets and different towns and things as well. So, and this, you can see the kind of Crieff, you know, that as you say, sitting right on this point here. It's amazing, isn't it, when you see it from above, like you can see the sort of highland part beyond and then that lowland. So you can see why it's a centre for this. You can see why it's so important at that time.
Yes, and not only with, I presume, not only with the trade of the market, the business end of the dealing in the cattle, there would have been a lot more opportunities for other businesses to come in. I mean, Crieff was a town which had a certain presence in itself, There was weaving. Obviously, it was an administrative centre as well, and that's part of the reason why Crieff gained that importance as a market. There'd been markets all over Scotland trading cattle for years and years beforehand, but with the support of government, Crieff became an important place, which had reliability. It had a standing in the commercial sense,
yeah.
And I think that's what gave it its sense of purpose for so many years. The reliability of having sort of fairly honest transactions, reliable. And then coming round to the business end of how it happened, there were no banks, there was no big money transaction. There wasn't a lot of money available in Scotland at the time.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the transactions were done by notes of credit or promissory notes,
mm-hmm.
Which for many reasons were actually a safer form than transacting
than
with money
cash,
because
yeah.
the you had less chance of somebody actually stealing a promissory note or a credit note because it had no particular value, mm-hmm. other than the both ends of that credit transaction. So there must have been an awful lot of discussion and communication and understanding and trust between the various parties to allow this to take place. Add to that the fact that a lot of the participants in this process were pretty exhausted from what they've come from, and also with the
what's coming
the vision
ahead
of what
as
they
well,
were going
yeah,
to.
Yeah,
not everybody
it's not done
would,
here. It's just a point, isn't
not
it?
Not everybody would do the whole route, but a lot would. So a lot of pressure, and I think a credit to Crieff and the profession of those drovers that it was regarded as an honest profession at a time when reaving and cattle thief was endemic throughout the whole of Scotland.
Well, there's
this
a lot of that.
I mean,
yeah.
These people were a cut above, I suppose, the rest, and perhaps at times they were the rest. Maybe they had two hats, and they had a reaver hat, a cattle thief hat, and also an honest drover hat. Who knows?
Yeah, this is the thing, that the written records don't exist now for these kinds of transactions. So I mean, and people, when they're going through these transactions in the past, because they understand them, they don't always write down exactly what's happening. So when you go to the archives and you're looking in some of the collections, you might see documents about this, but they're almost assuming that people then knew what they were all about. So it's hard to find an explanation.
A lot of the interpretation that we see about the droving times and the droving days are often, and particularly the transaction, are often made by outsiders who have come up and are travelling. They're either military personnel, or they're political, or they may be from the church, and they're observing
what's happening
from their perspective. So they're not in the middle, they're not in the melee. One particular observation was of a group of drovers coming down through Glengarry, and they observed 5,000 cattle on the hoof moving.
Wow.
And it took them the best part of an entire day to move through the group, because it was the only way they could get through, and it must have been an amazing sight. And in there you have a lot of observation about how the movement is taking place, the control of the cattle, the way they're working them in little groups, and they're using dogs. But even so, it's not a detailed account. It's very much an observation of an outsider. And I think that was the same with a lot of the information we have about the transactions.
Yeah, and poems and songs. I mean, we always come back to this, my interest in music and history. So we've been looking at poems and things as well about songs, music that comes from this, and that romantic side of it, which is the legacy of droving. I mean, Crieff became the holiday town. That was a sign you used to see when you drove into Crieff. Welcome to Crieff, the holiday town. So it's morphed over the years into something else. But what is the droving history for Crieff? What legacy? I mean, you're part of that with the Drovers' Tryst. So what does that mean for Crieff? Is it quite an important part of their heritage that they're still talking about today?
Well, I think droving put Crieff on the map long before the tourism activities came to make Crieff become known as the Montpellier of the North. And it's part of our history, and it's part of Crieff's heritage, and it's a very important part of what makes Crieff what it is today. We like to continue that in a small way through the walking festival, the Drovers' Tryst. It's a small festival, and it gets people out into the hills, out into the landscape. And if we can impart a little bit of information, a little bit of the magic and the romance of what happened during those times, all well and good. We've historically run the Tryst in October to commemorate the or celebrate the history of the market at that time. But this year, although it didn't take place for obvious medical reasons, we'd moved the tryst to May, and if we'd had it during May, we would have had a wonderful tryst.
Well, but yeah, because the weather was amazing.
We have moved that for the reasons of weather, and we're maybe not quite as hardy as those Highland Rovers who would get out there no matter what.
And do it all year, absolutely. So, yeah, so we can, there, you've got a website, we can find out more there if people are interested, and link to that through CPK. It's just glorious to be up here today and to see the landscape. I think that's the most important thing. And that's why, you know, not just that the landscape is where the drovers obviously travelled through, but, you know, that's still what you're celebrating today with this Strathearn and Crieff Drovers Tryst, is getting out into the land, getting out into the countryside and seeing that history for yourself.
Yes, we're lucky to have such a beautiful landscape, and you can see it in front of you today. And I just hope that no matter what happens over the next few months, the hills are still
here.
They're still there. Mm-hmm. They'll be here for millions of years to come. The landscape's still here. Access to that landscape is still available. And I think if anybody wants to socially distance come May next year,
come and join the Drovers Tryst.
A walking festival. Look at droverstryst.com and book your places.
Fantastic.
We've been very popular in the past. We hope we'll be popular in the future. And we hope to be able to offer something for everybody.
Great, wonderful. Well, we'll enjoy the rest of our walk. The dogs are quieter now, and we'll maybe have a drover snack as well. Okay.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this special podcast series. You can find out more about the work that Culture Perth and Kinross does on our website, www.culturepk.org.uk.